All right, so if you are hearing this right now, it may sound a little bit different than those that are listening to the full version of the podcast that was taped on video. You know why? Matthew and I are sitting here in a studio, audio-only version, because, I don't know, 60 seconds after our video stream went quiet for the rest of the day, Adam Schefter broke the news that Christian McCaffrey, the incredible Panthers running back, 1.01 in our rankings this year, is going to miss multiple games due to the ankle issue he suffered on Sunday, Matthew. We talked about this in the podcast, but what is your updated reaction to multiple games missed for CMC?
Well, first off, obviously, it's awful, right? I mean, so when you'll hear coming up in the podcast, we talk about the fact that this is a guy that's never missed an NFL game. I think he's only missed one practice in his NFL career. So it's a devastating blow for Christian McCaffrey, for the Panthers, for all of his fans, and obviously for his fantasy managers. I think that Mike Davis suddenly becomes a priority on the waiver wire column. Look, here's a guy who had 8 receptions for 74 yards when he came in, replacing Christian McCaffrey. He's a good pass-catching running back. You'll hear us talk about that later off in the show. But here's the stat that we didn't have at the time. Teddy Bridgewater, since he came into the NFL, of the 39 qualified quarterbacks, is 37th in average depth of target. That is just a number that tells you what you know instinctively when you watch football. He's a dinker and a dunker. He is somebody who likes to throw short. Panthers, so far this year, are 6th in the NFL in terms of running back targets per game. Now, that's obviously skewed by CMC. When you have McCaffrey, you're going to target him. But make no mistake, this is a team that's going to throw with a quarterback that likes to throw short. Mike Davis, 8 for 74 when he came in here. For me, he's the number one waiver priority add over any of the Giants running backs, over any of the 49ers running backs, over Daryl Henderson. For me, Field, that's where I land. You write the waiver wire column for ESPN. Is he your number one?
Yeah, he would. He is my number one as well. For anybody that has an urgent running back need, and frankly, basically everybody is going to have an urgent running back need with all the injuries from week 2, I wouldn't know exactly what multiple weeks mean. It could mean 2. It could mean 8, right? This is
right.
Also a team that this year is not going to be good. Christian McCaffrey is the centerpiece of their franchise right now. They will be very conservative, I would think, in bringing him back from this ankle issue. Mike Davis is a pretty good player. Not a great player, but a pretty good player who, as we talked about in the podcast, once signed a 3-year, $9 million deal with the Bears. He won the job in preseason with an impressive showing. He's a good pass catcher, and they need someone to tote the rock right now. I'm sure they'll bring somebody up from the practice squad, or we'll see more of Reggie Bonifon eventually. But I think for now, this is clearly Mike Davis's job. And, you know, global view, bad defense. They're going to be playing from behind a bunch.
Yep.
I don't know about 8 targets per week for Mike Davis, but it wouldn't surprise me if he hovers around, let's say, 18 to 25 in our weekly running back rankings until Christian McCaffrey returns.
I think that's the right call. I was just going to say, I think immediately a usable flex piece.
Keep in mind, and this probably won't impact Christian McCaffrey, but the Panthers don't have their bye until week 13. So if this was one of those where, let's just say, he had a week 7 bye, you might think to yourself, wow, is there a chance I'm without Christian McCaffrey until week 8? Well, given the fact that their bye week is the final bye week available for NFL teams this year, you're not going to be missing Christian McCaffrey due to a scheduled off day, but you might miss multiple weeks right now because of that ankle injury. Just a terrible Sunday for injuries all around.
It was, and we're going to get into the show fully, but I just want to say this, and I made this point later in the show, but I'm just going to repeat it right here, which is this. Yes, it as a fantasy manager, it's awful. You just lost your number one pick. You were so excited to get it. You get Christian McCaffrey, and then 2 games in the season, you're going to miss multiple weeks with him. But guess what? So is the person who has Saquon Barkley in your league,
sure,
right? And so you think about Devontae Adams and Michael Thomas and George Kittle. I mean, and we're not even – and Miles Sanders, who missed a game, right? I mean, so we're not even through 2 full weeks of the season because we still have the Monday night game to play, and already so many of the top players that went in the first 2 rounds of your draft have been hurt. Yes, it stinks, but there are others in your league in the same boat. Do not lose focus. This is the time that we dig in. This is the time – where we separate the wheat from the chaff. This is the time where victory is yours.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010. Focus. Fantasy Focus.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Good Monday morning to all of you. Field Yates, Matthew Berry, Stefania Bell here, of course, Daniel Dopp, and our usual crew. And I'm just going to start out by saying this. This is one of the most interesting Monday podcasts we've done since I've been a part of this show. Sunday was brutal, and the NFL is a dangerous and violent game. Football is a dangerous and violent sport. It's also a wonderful sport that has brought so much to each and every one of our lives. We know it's difficult. We know that it is hard on the body. I don't know that I'll ever recall a Sunday like the one that we saw yesterday in terms of injuries. And
awful.
Just brutal. Our producer, Matt Harrington, sent us a note that 12 of the top 46 players in terms of ADP going into this season have either already missed a game or got hurt and left a game as a result of injury.
Right.
And we're 2 weeks into this. I can't remember a Sunday like this one, Matthew, ever.
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting because coming into the season, there was a lot of concern about, you know, COVID-19 and how does that affect. And the league and all the players should be commended. Like,
done a great job.
To the best of our knowledge, no one has missed time due to complications related to COVID-19. And yet, Field, you know, we're sitting here sifting through. I literally just tweeted, for people watching the live stream, they just saw me on the phone. I literally just tweeted, Field and I are going to sift through the wreckage of week two live now. And I mean, it was unbelievable. And, you know, we'll get Stefania in here as well. Poor Stefania. I don't know if she slept. You know,
she might not for the whole week.
I mean, like we were watching the games together, socially distant, by the way. We're all more than 6 feet apart, but we were in the same room. And, you know, poor Stefania was just like, what now? Like, Stefania, you were on your phone, like, texting, trying to get sources on one guy getting injured, and then we'd have to tell you, no, look up, watch this play again, because someone else just left the game. It was awful.
I think I tweeted at one point that I was having a hard time watching any actual game content, and usually what I do on Mondays is I go back and look at, like, the All-22, because I use it for purposes of looking at how the injury happened and what developed afterward, and I will be spending a lot of probably the next 24 hours watching film. It was rough.
So the reality of yesterday is that we've got so many fantasy storylines. We're going to get to as many as we possibly can today. And you know what? We might not make it to a few of them because there was a ton of stuff that happened yesterday. So,
but we have the entire week.
Yes, we do.
We have the entire week. We will have a waiver show tomorrow. There'll be a new episode of the Fantasy Show on ESPN+. Your waiver column will come out tomorrow as well, or even probably later today.
It's up,
right?
It's already been sent.
Oh,
yeah,
my goodness.
It's going to be up soon.
So Field's waiver column will be up on ESPN.com. I love hate column. So we will have plenty of content between now and the next time you have to make a decision. So let's get to it. We got a lot to get to here.
Yeah, and let's just go right to Stefania. You're going to be very busy. We're going to start with some of these major injuries, Stefania, which require not just more news, but also more attention to them. Saquon Barkley, this is the most devastating one because the writing appears to be on the wall already.
Right. I mean, we're already hearing the reports from our Adam Schefter and Jordan Ronan that the team expects that he tore his ACL and going for further evaluation and testing today. But watching that injury, I think the thing that was most troubling just emotionally for anybody watching it was the clear pain that he was in. He wasn't even putting any weight on that leg. The team helping try to get him off the field as quickly as possible, but he just would not put the foot on the ground. This from a guy who had an ankle injury last year that he worked very hard to come back from and be solid in his return. We wish him well in his recovery. Not the only Giant. Sterling Shepard left with a toe injury as well. Tried to come out and run a route in the third quarter and couldn't do it. So Saquon clearly lost for the year if this bears out, and Sterling Shepard, we'll wait and see.
Okay, so we'll get to Sterling Shepard in just a minute. But Matthew, unfortunately, this is one of the most devastating injuries that we could think of for fantasy football purposes. In our preseason rankings, you and I both had Saquon Barkley just behind Christian McCaffrey as number two in our overall rankings. He's a prodigious talent, number two overall draft pick 2 years ago. I know it was a tough start last week, but we were expecting a massive season for Saquon Barkley this year. Like maybe RB1. Like maybe the best running back in fantasy this year.
He was
now he's out.
A consensus top three pick in fantasy this year. I don't think I saw two quarterback leagues aside, I don't think I saw a draft this year where Saquon Barkley went later than three. Some people had Zeke over him in some early drafts. Maybe Dalvin Cook went ahead of him, but he was a consensus top three pick across the board, and rightfully so. He is one of the best running backs in the NFL, one of the best athletes in the NFL. It is awful to see. It is brutal. And for, you know, a guy that missed a little bit of time last year, you hate to see this, right? And so I don't mean to make light or shortchange the impact of that injury on Saquon and his family and the Giants organization. But Field, you and I and Stefania, our job is to evaluate this from a fantasy football perspective. So from that perspective, this is bad.
It's crushing.
Anytime you lose a player of that talent, Like, it's not good.
Yeah, it's not good. So before we, I'm going to let you sort of sift through who you would most prefer amongst the next men up in the Giants backfield. But many people don't know who the Giants backups are because they always give the football to Saquon Barkley yesterday. Right. And this was week two when they went into the game with Saquon Barkley. They had just one other pure running back active. That was Deion Lewis, who handled all 10 of the Giants' non-Barkley carries yesterday with 14 touches in total. They also dressed Eli Penny, more of a fullback, a guy who's been around for a little while. Beyond that, they have on their roster Wayne Gallman. He was a healthy scratch yesterday. So obviously the team felt good about its depth going into the game because they expected Saquon Barkley to finish the game. Now, Jordan Renan has also reported that the team is planning a visit for Devontae Freeman, who is a free agent right now. If you were to advise someone making a waiver claim tonight, and you may have a top one if you have Saquon Barkley as your first-round pick, Matthew, would you suggest it being on a backup Giants running back or a potential backup Giants running back, and who would it be?
So no, in general. Like, I would want to make as late a waiver claim as possible.
Okay.
Having said that, Wayne Gallman had a little bit of, you know, had a little bit of fantasy success last year when he was the main guy. We just don't know. And like, feels like Devontae Freeman, if he ends up signing with the Giants, would be the guy that you would want, right? Maybe not the first week in, but just for the long term. Look, I suppose if I had to pick one right now, I would pick Deion Lewis because he was active, because we've seen him have success in the NFL. So is Wayne Gallman. But just, you know, we're taking our cues from the team. The team felt that, you know, at least in terms of the pecking order, they wanted Lewis over Gallman. Now, understand this. Here's the other complicating factor. Sometimes what in terms of actives and inactives isn't about how they view those particular players. And maybe here's the game plan we have. And we think if Saquon were to miss time, they may think that Gallman is the guy that, you know, can handle 20 touches in a way that Lewis can't. But because they expected Barkley to finish the game, they're like, in terms of the certain packages we have, we think we need Lewis active and not Gallman up. So in terms of advice, I think it's still too early to say. If you're saying, like, you got to pick one, I guess Deion Lewis. But emphasis on the word guess here, Field. And my expectation here is that it would be, at least initially, a running back by committee until someone emerged. I don't know that Deion Lewis or Wayne Gallman or even Devontae Freeman, you know, has enough where they're going to be like, this is going to be their job the way it was Saquon Barkley's.
Yeah, it's interesting because if you were to make the case for Deion Lewis, it would be on the strength of, as you mentioned, some of the pass-catching ability and the fact that he was dressed yesterday. Yet Wayne Gallman does something really well too, and that's catch passes. That was strength of his game at Clemson. So it feels like you might have two duplicate parts there in the backfield behind Saquon Barkley. I have the job of running the waiver column, as you mentioned. I took the easy way out. And here's what I did.
Okay.
I put both of them in the same entry.
There you
go. Here's
the
reason why. Because I can't. So I, and this happened with a few players because there are a lot of injuries. I have Deion Lewis first. I made it clear my preferred target out of this backfield will be Deion Lewis as things currently stand. But I think both players should be picked up in a bunch of leagues, if not all leagues, because there's a chance that one or both of them emerge with 15-ish touches per week. And that's going to have some fantasy relevance. And an offense that we still believe in despite the early season sputters.
And what I wanted to say here, just to anyone listening or watching here, is that, listen, I could easily get on and say, like, it's got to be Deion Lewis. I could get on my, or I could just pick a guy and make a strong case for it and tell you that this is the way it is and blah, 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 blah. And then if I'm wrong, I'm wrong and whatever. The fact is, I'm just being completely honest here. I don't know. And one of the reasons I don't know is because I don't think the Giants know. I don't think the Giants, as of right now, I don't think they know. And so I just think, look.
It's a good point.
Football is insanely unpredictable. If Sunday taught us nothing, it's that it's insanely unpredictable. And so we're trying to do the impossible here and predict. And I just want to be honest with the listener and just saying, like, look, in some of these cases, like, a lot of times we have inside information. We've done the analysis. But there are times where we just don't know. And this is one of those cases. There's what I do know. The loss of Saquon Barkley is a big one. He's massively talented, and that Giants offense is going to take a hit one way or the other in terms of the fantasy value of all the remaining pieces. Like, they may go more pass-heavy, so maybe this ultimately helps Daniel Jones in terms of some junk time, but ultimately it's a big loss for the Giants, for football fans, and for fantasy players.
Not to overlook it, but Sterling Shepard's injury probably just means more good work for Golden Tate, who had five catches yesterday, and also Darius Slayton. If Shepard misses time, then you feel more comfortable starting either of those guys as a flex. Before we go to CMC, Daniel, look, you had something you wanted to add.
Yeah, you may have said this already, but like, it's week two, and if you lost Saquon Barkley, there is a lot of time left for you to still be able to, like, don't quit because you lost Saquon here.
Yeah.
As in, like, there's still so much time for you to be able to field a good team. Waivers and trades. I just wanted to say that because I feel like it'd be really easy just to like throw in the towel, like forget it.
Well, and here's what I would say. You know, it is very simply, just let me just, to that point, understand that you're sitting here, you used a very high pick on Saquon Barkley, and you're like, oh my goodness. And by the way, the way drafts went, and because wide receivers went so late, there's a chance you're sitting there and you're like, my first round pick was Saquon Barkley, and my second round pick was Devontae Adams or George Kittle. It's entirely possible.
Yep.
That's you know, that's how you started off your season. And so I can understand you're sitting there going like, well, all right, when's fantasy basketball start? No. I'm with you, Secret Squirrel. Look, here's the thing. Look at your team and look at what assets you have. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to go out and grab a running back. So, for example, when you're talking about the waiver column, maybe you have Kyler Murray as your quarterback, right? And instead of sitting there going like, okay, how do I get a running back here? Maybe you say like, okay, you know what? Hey, why don't you trade Kyler? Why don't you use your waiver pick on Joe Burrow?
Right.
You know what I mean? And then you know what? Now go try to trade Kyler Murray for an upgrade at running back, as opposed to just saying like, all right, let me sift through these, you know, these also-rans on the waiver wire to find a starting running back with a pulse. Like, look at the other assets you have. Like, maybe you have Kelsey or Mark Andrews, and you can trade one of them and say like, oh, look, hey, Jonnu Smith is still out there. You know, or one of these other tight ends that have emerged, right? Mike Gesicki, I don't think he's got 100% roster.
48.1%.
So there you go. So like, you know what I mean? Like, so look at the totality of your roster and be like, okay, what's available on the waiver wire? And maybe I don't need to pick up a running back. Maybe I need to pick up a piece to replace a strength of mine, because then I can though trade my strength to get a better running back. Because you're going to have a better chance of replacing that running back with a Mark Andrews, or you know. Something like that, right?
I think that's all well said, and that sort of ties into the strategy of losing a player to a devastating injury. And any other day, Saquon Barkley being hurt, I'm sorry, or Christian McCaffrey being hurt, would be the story of Monday, unfortunately. Stefania, this one sort of flew under the radar because of all the other injuries, and because, honestly, it didn't look as bad when you saw it. He pulled up lame at the end of a touchdown run. And they were celebrating, and the next thing you know, he's getting medical attention. So what do we know about Christian McCaffrey?
He limped off the field after that touchdown field, and they were looking at him on the sideline. They tried retaping his ankle, the athletic training staff did, and then you saw McCaffrey testing it out on the sideline, then unwrapping the tape, going in the tent for further evaluation. Whatever it was, it couldn't get quite right. But the bright spots, as you say, were that he took himself off the field under his own power. He was testing the ankle on the sideline. He remained there standing. There was nothing that looked the way Saquon's injury looked, for example. So that part's encouraging. However, I would say that sometimes these ankle injuries seem relatively minor. Then they go for further testing and you find out something else. So Christian McCaffrey indeed undergoing further imaging testing and workup today. And we should have more information after that.
Stefania, in your medical opinion, does Christian McCaffrey actually need both ankles?
It's a fair question.
I mean,
because you know what? He's never missed a game.
I know.
Running back, three full seasons, no missed games, gets through, you know, a game and three quarters, essentially. He might only need one.
I'm just saying something to research there, because I don't believe Christian McCaffrey is of this earth.
To self.
Yeah.
No, checking that out.
By the way, not only has he not missed a game, but, and I could be wrong on this, I think he has missed one practice. I believe there was a Wednesday practice that he did not practice, but I literally think he has
probably
been
like a veteran rest day, right?
Right. Yeah. I literally think he has been at least a limited participant in every practice.
He might be the next Frank Gore.
Yeah.
We'll
talk about that one more. We probably won't.
Frank Gore forever. But
so let's get into McCaffrey then. So he leaves the game, and they were down at this point, so they end up turning to Mike Davis, formerly a Seahawk, formerly a Bear, claimed off of waivers midseason last year, had a good enough preseason to win that number two job, Matthew.
Yeah. They released Reggie Bonifant, who most people thought was going to be the backup. Yeah,
22 snaps yesterday for Mike Davis. And how about this? One rush for 1 yard. And you're like, okay. But he had 8 catches for 74 yards. And they were playing catch it. But if you think back to when he was with the Seahawks 2 seasons ago, he had a very useful pass catching season. So In the event that Christian McCaffrey misses time, how much value does Mike Davis bring to the table right away?
In a PPR league, a significant amount. Because, again, you sort of like you look at that 8 for 74 and you're like, how repeatable is that? And the answer is very. Because, first off, Panthers are bad defensively. It's going to be one of the worst defenses in the NFL when all is said and done at the end of this year, right?
Sure. Yeah.
So they're bad and they're going to be throwing a lot. Also, by the way, think about Teddy Bridgewater. What does Teddy Bridgewater do? Teddy Bridgewater throws short and accurate. Dink and dunk. Like, he's super accurate, but he generally throws short. And so he likes to throw to running backs here. And so you're looking at a pass-heavy offense, a quarterback that's very good at throwing short and intermediate passes, and a very good pass-catching running back who would likely get the majority of the work here. There's no one else on that Panthers roster, to my knowledge, that I think would get significant playing time here.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look at their depth chart once more, and certainly they're probably going to, if Christian McCaffrey misses time, I'm sure they would promote a player from the practice squad or bring another running back into the fold, but Mike Davis is actually a pretty capable player.
He is.
He signed a 3-year, $9 million deal about a year and a half ago with the Bears, who at that point already had some reasonable running backs on their roster. They eventually drafted David Montgomery, but they liked him enough to give him 3 years, $9 million.
I think, Mike, I'm with you on the first part of that premise, which is that Mike Davis is a pretty good running back. I don't think you're allowed to use the Bears giving somebody a contract as a result. I mean, because under that, Jimmy Graham's one of a top three tight end.
He scored in week one, right?
Tariq Cohen is a top 10 running back under that same scenario, right?
Mitchell
Trubisky is better than Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson under that same scenario. I'm just, you know, listen. We agree on this. Mike Davis is a talented running back, and I think
he's a flex value right away.
100%. And so if McCaffrey were to miss time, I think I would prefer him to any of the Giants running backs. Again, it depends on, like, if McCaffrey's going to miss 1 week versus a season. But
that's the trick of when people ask me, like, who would you prioritize, is that, like, if you just need someone for 3 weeks, then I think it's clearly he is my number one ad. But if you need someone for the rest of the season, well, he may be, you know, he could be on the bench for 13 more games based off of Christian McCaffrey's brilliance.
Before we move on, I want to ask you something that I think is important that you and I were talking about before the show. So Devontae Freeman, I want you to put on your NFL insider hat if you can, Scoop Yates, and talk to me about this, because you talk to all the agents, you talk to all the front office personnel around the NFL as part of your job being an NFL insider here for ESPN. Devontae Freeman is still on the street. Yep. Is that a result of unreasonable contract demands, or is that a result of, like, because a lot of teams have kicked the tires and he is still without a job? And I'm just curious where you sit on Devontae Freeman from talking to personnel people around the league.
So just quickly look at the time frame. Obviously, he was released by the Falcons this offseason, and then he basically hung around with no interest. The most recent interest he has had is he's actually in Philadelphia for a visit right now. The Eagles have Miles Sanders, but they've been looking to sort of pad the depth in their backfield. So I think it's a combination of two things, Matthew. You mentioned the contract. Obviously, he wants to get paid and be paid handsomely. But the NFL obviously has a different opinion of Devontae Freeman than at least his contract desires suggest. He changed agents. He is now working with super agent Drew Rosenhaus. So you
I've
would
heard
think,
of him.
Yeah, and Drew certainly has as distinguished track record of getting deals done as perhaps anybody in the industry. So I expect Devontae Freeman to find work still soon. But as I was mentioning to you before the show, is that, you know, there's probably a calculation for Devontae Freeman. I think he could have signed somewhere before the season began, but he may have signed somewhere where he was already, you know, second, third in line for the job. But now, 2 weeks into the season, you've got the Giants definitely looking for help and potentially a starter. Like, I think there is a chance, and I don't think it's a huge chance. Is there like a 25% chance that if he signed with the Giants this week, by week four of the NFL season, he'd be a starting running back with somewhere between 15 and 7 weekly touches? I think the answer is yes.
Right.
I don't think that job was available for him 3 weeks ago before the season began.
Very fair.
So I think that ultimately his patience might pay off. It just might be that the contract is less than he probably imagined when he got cut this offseason. The guy signed a 5-year, $40 million extension at one point in his career.
Sure. So, yeah, but maybe there's some incentives in there.
Sure,
in
terms of find a way to
playing time and that kind of stuff. Where would you – did you address Devontae Freeman in your waiver wire column?
Yeah, I thought about putting him one. And he may – if we get information by the end of today that he's going to sign somewhere – I'll move him up. He's fourth right now.
Okay.
Fourth in the waiver column. I said this is the first time I've ever written about a free agent in the waiver column. So we'll discuss him more tomorrow because there's a chance we could have an update by the time the show is over.
Right.
Devontae Adams also gets banged up. Gosh, Man, Stefania, he was brilliant in week one, perhaps the best wide receiver in the NFL. What do we know about Devontae Adams after leaving the Packers win early?
All we know is that it was a hamstring issue that forced him out of the game. He was out in the second half. He tried to come back briefly, and then he exited permanently. You have to wonder if it was a bit proactive in the sense that the Packers were pretty comfortable with where they were. But nonetheless, he exited, didn't return. And with these hamstring injuries, there are a bunch of them with wide receivers. It wouldn't surprise me if the team was being cautious.
Okay, that actually feels good. That was good to hear right there after all the devastating news so far. Matthew, here's what we know. So let's just look backwards what we know from what we saw from these two players, because we don't have any sense on the time frame. But I guess we have to, with all of these players, we have to ask this question. If this superstar misses time, what are you going to do? And I think the obvious answer is that you're going to have to pick up one of these two young Packers wide receivers that so far this season has been pretty solid. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, available at about 83% of leagues. And Alan Lazard, available about two-thirds of leagues. And both of them yesterday had three catches. Both of them in week one had a touchdown. So, do we have the opportunity to zone in on one or the other? Or are we sort of back where we were with the Giants? Like, we have a lean, but we're still sort of throwing a dart.
Yeah, because it's their offense completely changes without somebody like number 17 on the field.
Yeah.
But having said that, you asked me to pick where would I rank them. I would rank Marquez Valdes-Scantling higher than Alan Lazard. Look, he was second on the team in receiving yards in both week one and week two. He's somebody that comes into the NFL with more of a pedigree than Lazard as well. He's got an 18.3% target share this season, and that's obviously with Adams on the field. But look, I think both guys would see an uptick in fantasy value. But you know who might see the biggest uptick?
Aaron Jones. Is it possible to go anywhere further up?
I mean, I know, right? Free Aaron Jones. We might actually have to free Aaron Jones. Matt LaFleur might be forced to actually free Aaron Jones here, because if you look at what Jones did last year, I mean, Jones obviously had a magical year all season long, but when Adams was out, it felt like, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it felt like Jones really took a step up. I mean, again, think about this. Aaron Jones actually leads the Packers with red zone targets.
Yeah.
Like, not Devontae Adams, not Robert Tonyan, who some of our friends call Baby Kittle there on the Twitter.
Nice day yesterday.
Had a nice day yesterday for 2 for 25 and a touchdown. But free Aaron Jones, hashtag free Aaron Jones. I actually think they would, you know, and by the way, Jamal Williams, who had a nice little game there too.
He might get
some more run as well, might become flex worthy in a non-Devontae Adams-led Packers offense.
I have no information here. I'm not Stefania Bell. I just look at the Packers schedule and I do see that they have a week 5 bye. So just keep that in mind. If Devontae Adams, I'm not telling you to prepare for Devontae Adams to be out until week 6, but if he left the game early yesterday, if he misses week 3, it could be that the team takes a conservative approach. They play the Saints next Sunday.
They play the Saints next Sunday, but they're also 2-0. You know what I mean? So they may sit there and, like, again, he's their franchise guy after Aaron Rodgers, of course. And they may say, you know what? We're 2-0. We play the Saints, and then we play the Falcons, and we think we got a chance at splitting those without Adams. You know, so if we go into our bye 3-1 and we can have him healthy for week 6, again, we have no information, and hopefully Adams is back next week. But I understand you could see a team having that thought process, something to be prepared for if you have Adams on your team. And I do in Scott Fishbowl, good time.
Stefania, I'm sorry to do this to you, but your 49ers just went through so many injuries yesterday. On offense, two of them of particular note are Jimmy Garoppolo and Raheem Mostert.
Raheem Mostert opens the game with this electric touchdown score, and then in the second quarter is forced out because of a knee injury. We understand now that he has a sprained medial collateral ligament. At least that's what they are thinking. The wide range of possibilities with this, but certainly I'd be concerned about him being available for next week and potentially weeks beyond that. We have to really wait and see how they elaborate. Kyle Shanahan, pretty good at giving information. In fact, that's why we have so much detail on these injuries. Jimmy Garoppolo suffered a high ankle sprain. His right ankle took a hit, kind of bent awkwardly. If you were watching that game at all, you could tell something wasn't quite right. He wasn't comfortable putting weight through that leg. He was kind of quick to get off it. He'd throw the ball and then he'd kind of jump off that leg. Obviously uncomfortable. Did not return in the second half. Kind of made it through the first half. Didn't return in the second half. And Nick Mullins came out to play. High ankle sprains. We've talked about this before. Not quick recoveries typically. And if you can't plant as a quarterback and you can't be accurate, that's a liability as well. The real issue for the 49ers, and clearly, where do I start? But they suffered so many injuries. Nick Bosa lost for the year, they suspect, to an ACL. Solomon Thomas went down with a knee injury. Tevin Coleman left with a knee injury. The problem is that they return to the same stadium next week to face the New York Giants. A lot of players were expressing concern about the turf or that they felt it was very sticky even before the game. And then as they see their compadres go down with injuries on that turf and they know they have to come back and play there next week, they're expressing anxiety over that. That's the word Eric Armstead used, is that it's anxiety provoking to see this happen. And this brings up other players who did not play, like George Kittle. Well, there is a thought that they might be available in week three. And I think you have to look at this whole picture. And I think they're going to be really conservative here because of so many losses at once. So in that game, it'll be the 49ers and the Giants. You won't have Saquon Barkley. You won't have Nick Bosa, potentially Raheem Mostert. You might not have Jimmy Garoppolo. It's really going to be difficult.
Gosh, Stefania, that felt like I felt Stefania's pain there. So
right. And obviously, still no Debo Samuel.
Right. James on IR. So yeah, in the interest of time, we got to get to a few things here. I don't want to dismiss the Jimmy Garoppolo ankle injury, but obviously, Jimmy Garoppolo was not a player. Many people were starting at quarterback. And frankly, other than George Kittle, really no wide receiver or pass catcher for the 49ers was consistently on people's radars. But Raheem Mostert was. He had emerged as the clear cut best running back in the backfield. Now, Tevin Coleman did get banged up, as Stefania mentioned. Let's dive into the now potentially two or three-headed attack behind Raheem Mostert. Tevin Coleman had, I believe, 14 carries for 12 yards or 12 carries for 14 yards. Either way, it was bad. Jerick McKinnon had one big play yesterday, Matthew. How about that? On 3rd and 31, the Jets allowed a 55-yard run. 3rd and 31. Put that one on the highlight reel.
Jets, Jets, Jets.
Wow. So anyways, though, we have to probably choose just one 49ers running back going forward, figuring that Jeff Wilson might be in the mix as well. I sort of reluctantly advocated for Tevin Coleman as the top, even though he's banged up, top running back ad, because I think the team, and this is especially pertinent right now, like, are they going to really turn Jerick McKinnon, coming off of back-to-back loss seasons to a knee injury, to a 15 to 20 carry guy? I think the answer is obviously no. They probably have no choice but to rely on Tevin Coleman, who we also know that Kyle Shanahan loves Tevin Coleman. He has since his days in Atlanta together. So I think Tevin Coleman is the preferred ad here, but I also am telling you that, like, I don't know that I'm starting any 49ers running back in week three, especially if all these other players that we're expecting to be out are out. They may have to just grind this win out with defense next Sunday.
Here's a question. Like, is the defense still a must start? I'm not serious. Richard Sherman didn't play in this game. Like,
he's on IR,
right? Yeah, I mean, they're so banged up on defense, and I think a lot of people just sort of like, oh, yeah, 49ers defense, let me just throw them in there because they're awesome. And maybe they would still be a start next week against the Giants without Saquon Barkley, but like, are the 49ers defense still the all capital letters 49ers defense as we look at it from a fantasy perspective?
Nope. No, they're not. I mean, and that's just part of the reason why we're reluctant to pay premiums on defenses and drafts anyways. Right. But yeah, it's a tough, ugly situation. We got a ton more stories to get to. Let me just...
By the way, you know who else Kyle Shanahan loved in Atlanta?
Who's that?
Devontae Freeman.
Devontae Freeman. There's an interesting one. If he's going to visit the Giants, he could just go right over. Well, I guess the 49ers are training in West Virginia for the week. But I want to say this. I want to find...
I mean, like...
Yeah,
not,
yeah, it's not the worst idea.
Put him on the list.
Nick Mullins can play.
Yes, he can.
File that one away. Nick Mullins would be a good player in the NFL. All right, Daniel.
Like, they wouldn't let him go. Like, teams were inquiring about Nick Mullins, and then 49ers were like, no.
Oh, yeah.
Even though the fact that Garoppolo's got the big deal.
No hot seat or anything yet, but just...
Yeah.
Nick Mullins can play. I'm with you.
Yeah, when you got great candidates, you don't want to let them go, Matthew. But when it comes to hiring stronger candidates for your business, maybe up against some obstacles. Like a ton of applicants, but difficulty finding the right ones for your job, or finding the time to hire while running your business, plus trying to ensure workplace safety. That's why you need ZipRecruiter on your team, guys. No matter the industry, from healthcare to manufacturing to business services, ZipRecruiter makes hiring faster and easier. And now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. First, when you post a job on ZipRecruiter, it gets sent out to over 100 top job sites. Then, ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology hustles for you to find people with the right experience for your job and invites them to apply. In fact, check this out. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So add ZipRecruiter to your roster to help you win the hiring game. To try ZipRecruiter for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Shell knows that between every tee-up, lay-up, and batter-up, you can't wait to catch up with your favorite podcast. So come to Shell and get the three things done at once. First, fill up with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus to help keep your engine running like new. Then save up with the Fuel Rewards program and never pay full price for gas again. And finally, snack up with in-store rewards to save even more at the pump. Time to wrap it up. Make the most of the stop you need to make with Shell. In engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. See full terms and conditions at FuelRewards.com. All right, let's put on the PF flyers to speed through some of these injuries.
Wow.
Like that, Daniel.
That was so good. What a throwback.
Yeah, those are cool. I want to get some of those.
I know.
Cortland Sutton, Stefania, man, he was banged up going into week two. He missed week one because of that AC sprain. Now he's dealing with another injury, as is his quarterback, Drew Lock.
Right, Cortland Sutton enters the game with an AC sprain. Drew Lock leaves with an AC sprain, probably out 2 to 6 weeks. A typical quarterback mechanism of injury. That Steelers defense, Bud Dupree, takes him to the ground and he sprains his shoulder. It really depends on how significant the injury is, so we should know more about that later today. And Cortland Sutton, his shoulder was bothering him, I'm told, during the game, but then he also sustained a knee injury, something the team was concerned enough about that they pulled him out of the game yesterday. So Cortland Sutton now dealing with two issues, not one.
Okay, the Broncos have a home game against the Bucs this upcoming Sunday. It looks like Bucs at Jets, at Patriots, Dolphins could be all Jeff Driscoll as the quarterback, with Drew Lock missing, as Stefania mentioned, 2 to 6 weeks. Matthew, here's the good news, is that their best pass catcher right now in terms of healthy guys is Noah Fant, I believe.
I agree.
And he was really good yesterday. He actually looked good, not just with Drew Lock, but
great,
also
Matthew.
With Jeff Driscoll.
You're doing great.
Yeah.
I appreciate
it. I just want you to know.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
So, I agree.
Yeah.
I do.
I also agree.
I do also agree. He was fantastic.
Nailed it. Jerry Jeudy is not eligible for the waiver wire column, rostered in enough leagues to be past that threshold. But is there anybody that needs to be added as a result of what happened yesterday to Cortland Sutton? Or is it just the two guys you can rely upon are Noah Fant and Melvin Gordon, and let's just see how long it takes Lock to get back?
I think that is the correct response. Yeah, there's no one there. I mean, if you're in a deep two quarterback league, Jeff Driscoll suddenly becomes interesting. You know, you and I are in a couple of those leagues where it's just like anyone with a pulse.
Right.
But other than a super deep, super flex or two quarterback league, no, I don't believe so. Real quickly, though, I just want to mention in that same game, in that Broncos Steelers game, we thought James Conner was hurt. James Conner wasn't hurt.
Yeah.
I know there were reports preseason, not from this network, but there were reports preseason that a pregame that this was going to be a split. This is going to be a totally split backfield. It was all James Conner.
So James Conner gets hurt and was really bad in week one. And then yesterday, he had a huge 57-yard run. He had a touchdown. It was kind of like when that guy is laying down in the casket and then he emerges.
Oh, yeah. Just suddenly, right. I think it's the Undertaker.
Oh, the Undertaker.
It's the Undertaker.
That's
what it reminded
me of.
That was it.
That gif of the guy. That's who James
Conner. By the way, you know what? It's interesting because you I didn't want to get into it when we were talking about it the other day, but the gif that I was talking about was not the Undertaker one, the WWE one, but there's one that's a guy that's actually at a funeral.
Oh.
Like it's from a sketch show. And I don't know where it is, but there is a
Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, it's a gift from a comedy show where a guy like pops out of a casket.
He's on like the moving vehicle. He's on like the truck and he gets out of the casket and he starts dancing. That one.
No, there's a different one. There's multiple. Okay. I'm gonna go to my gifts right now.
Okay. But you worked anyway. That, and we'll get to a couple other injuries in the meantime.
Anyway, all I was just gonna say is it's like that backfield becomes further muddied. But if you have James Conner and you didn't bail on him after week one, you have been bailed out. By the way, I still want no part of that backfield. I still don't trust James Conner. I still don't trust that backfield. But now at least James Conner has value, and I would call the person who has Saquon Barkley in your league.
Ooh.
And do whatever what do you want for James? What do you give me for James Conner? That's what I would do.
Yeah, I mean, well,
that's what this kid would do.
Not a bad idea right there. Okay, Stefania, while Matthew looks at gifts, let's get to the Rams running backs because they had multiple injuries to their three-headed attack, beginning with Cam Akers.
Yeah, Cam Akers suffered a rib injury on a goal line carry. He went from questionable to return to out for the rest of the game. Malcolm Brown suffered a finger injury that limited him towards the latter part of the game as well.
Okay, so Malcolm Brown was late, as you just mentioned, Stefania. So we don't know exactly the severity of that. Sean McVay is kind of like Kyle Shanahan, pretty transparent about these injuries, so I suspect we'll get some information on those. In the meantime, if you're reading the waiver wire column at some point today on ESPN.com, you're going to notice Daryl Henderson, who yesterday had 12 carries for 81 yards with a touchdown plus two catches for 40 yards. You can make a case that of the players that I wrote about on the column, he's the most talented guy. Now, the problem is that, as we know, we are going to have three running backs eventually healthy again in this backfield, and I don't think he has this job unto himself entirely, but we've been wanting to make Daryl Henderson happen since Sean McVay proclaimed as one of his favorite prospects in the 2019 NFL draft. Matthew, it was good to see him break out in the way that he did.
Yeah, meanwhile, here, go ahead, just, will you do me a favor, just go ahead and play that GIF that I, there you go. Just play that, you'll see. And so, yeah, it looks, it's from a soap opera. That one, you see?
Okay.
All right, yeah. There you go.
I have your Twitter account open right now. There is so much power.
I've been there before,
having
man.
Having this phone.
How fun is that? Hmm. Yeah.
Follow at Field Yates immediately. Is that allowed? Press send.
You know who does that too is sometimes is back in the day when we were all in the same studio, Shefty would do that all the time.
Right. Yeah.
Shefty would leave his Twitter account open and then he would do a hit on NFL Live and you'd be there and you'd be like, oh my God, I've got like 7 million people and I could just be like, so-and-so's out for the year. And then, you know, like have, you know, every single fantasy manager in the world just panic.
That'd be so,
and so the, yeah, the power of a Twitter account. All right.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so, Henderson,
so Rams backfield, sorry, video team that are trying to make a video out of this. All right. Rams backfield. Here's the thing. Daryl Henderson, the most important thing that I think Daryl Henderson showed against the Eagles is like, oh yeah. Oh, that's the guy that we have been expecting. That's the guy that we saw in Memphis. That's the guy that we understood that Sean McVay was talking about. Not only did he show fantasy managers, he showed Sean McVay.
Right.
And he carried the load, and he was everything you'd want in a lead running back as both Malcolm Brown and Cam Akers left that game with banged up little injuries. And so they were able to win that game. I agree with you that at full health, I still think it's probably a three-headed monster. But Daryl Henderson, who after week one or after the preseason, people might have thought, he's not going to be a thing. He's going to be a thing.
He has a chance to be a thing at the very least. He's available in 54.3% of leagues as of right now. So definitely a guy worth adding. Probably has more short-term than long-term value, but you never know. Sean McVay did love the player, as we mentioned. I'm going to have you, Stefania, give us three straight injuries. None of them, I would say, are of quite the consequence of those that we've discussed so far. So if you'd be so kind, we have updates on Paris Campbell, a surprise on Tyrod Taylor, and yet another Jets injury with Breshad Perriman.
Yeah, Paris Campbell had to be carted off the field because of a knee injury. Really unfortunate because he started off so strong this year, but we still remains to be seen what the nature of his injury is, so stay tuned. Doesn't sound like he's going to be back next week, that's for sure. Tyrod Taylor, so this was an interesting one because he was a late inactive right before the start of the game, and they said it was a chest injury, and a lot of people were questioning, hey, how did this happen so suddenly? And on Friday's injury report, he was listed with bruised ribs, but he had a full practice and was off the pregame injury report. So really nothing there. And you thought, well, maybe he injured it in warmups. Later find out from Anthony Lynn that Tyrod Taylor was experiencing chest pain and was taken to the hospital for further evaluation. No details yet on what the results were, but he was released from the hospital. So that is at least very good news for him. And then over in the Jets, you mentioned Breshad Perriman had an ankle injury. That ended up taking him out. He dealt with knee issues already to start this season. But keep in mind, Jamison Crowder was inactive already because of a hamstring issue. And then Chris Hogan ends up with a rib injury. So the 49ers were not alone in sustaining injuries yesterday.
Let me get through these three. And Matthew, I'll just sort of offer my thoughts. I think you probably are going to be in line with these. So Paris Campbell, we thought he had a chance to be a thing because he looked really good in week one. I think it opens the door for Michael Pittman, their second round pick, Michael Pittman Jr. out of USC, who had four catches yesterday, looked pretty good. I think he would be, at best, a deeper league consideration only up to this point, but they're going to have to throw it a lot, as we saw, although Jonathan Taylor did look great yesterday. But with Phillip Rivers, you're always going to have to throw it a bunch. With Tyrod Taylor, the real news here, and I wish the best for Tyrod Taylor.
My boy Mo Alie-Cox, though.
Well,
I mentioned my love of Mo Alie.
Sure, you did.
That was my long shot
long
on fantasy
shot.
Football.
Five
now.
For 111. I think that was more tied to Jack Doyle, though, don't you? That because Jack Doyle obviously missed the game, as did
correct.
Trey Burton because
correct.
He's on
but
IR.
We'll, right, but we'll see if Jack Doyle comes back this week.
Yep.
As long as we're talking injuries, I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, it was
Mo
a great,
Alie-Cox
it was
a
great long shot. Great long shot
I
call there. But so as I mentioned, Tyrod Taylor, I feel really bad for him. And Tyrod Taylor is a great person, just one of those respected veterans everywhere he's been, Baltimore, Buffalo, Cleveland, and now Los Angeles. I would be stunned. Even though Anthony Lynn said last night that when Tyrod Taylor is healthy, he's our starter, I'd be stunned if Justin Herbert was not the starter for the Chargers for the rest of this season. It is incredibly the smallest of sample sizes. But if you didn't watch that game yesterday, and most everybody did, there were only three games on during the 4 p.m. window, and come away incredibly impressed with Justin Herbert, I don't know what game you're watching. And I had right. He had a brutal pick. I get it. They may have won that game if he just runs for a first down and prolongs the drive. But the dude's got some serious juice. He can run, and he can throw it. That dude is going to be a player in this league. I have no doubt about that.
I 100% agree, and I thought there was an important thing. Like, I quote-tweeted the quote from Anthony Lynn, which was like, if Tyrod Taylor is 100% healthy, he's our starter going forward. I have this feeling that Tyrod Taylor is going to be about 90% healthy for the rest of the season.
Gotcha.
It's not going to be 100%, because I agree with you. Like, he's the future there, and the kid can play, and that was a really impressive performance. We don't even know how much prep he got. And
he was starting like literally like an hour, like, right. As everybody else did. That's crazy.
Exactly. Yeah. And so to do that against the Chiefs and basically go, you know, punch for punch with Patrick Mahomes, which is what he did for much of that game. Like,
he sure did. I mean, honestly,
he can play.
Yeah, 100%. He can certainly play. And the last one here on Brashad Perriman with the Jets. Guys, I'm sorry. Like, we can't try to make anything happen with the Jets other than Jamison Crowder if he's healthy. I feel terrible for the Jets fans. I feel bad watching them. I feel bad for Sam Darnold. I think this team is headed towards 2-3 wins.
A guy that was on my love list, and I had like, I did not have a great week on, like, it was a crazy week, and I'll own it. Like, I did not have a great love hate week as well. And one of my missed calls was Chris Herndon. You know, like, if I'm going to give myself love on, Mo Alley Cox, then I got to take some hate Chris Herndon. And, but I mean, like, Chris Herndon dropped a touchdown. He should have had a touchdown. He dropped a touchdown, but still, he got, like, only, like, I believe, 4 targets. He was used mostly as a blocker.
I don't get it.
I don't know what's going on with the Jets.
I don't get it. Obviously, people are very fired up right now in New York. They play Sunday and then Thursday. So I'll be interested to see, obviously, a lot of speculation already about whether there's going to be some people on the hot seat in the coaching ranks in New York. All right, now more than ever, we have to look out for each other and count on each other. Marathon wants you to know that you can count on them for high-quality, top-tier gas. Marathon gasolines are formulated with STP additives. They keep your vehicle running at peak performance by optimizing fuel economy, removing those ugly deposit buildups, and by reducing emissions. And right now, you can get 5 cents off every gallon every day with Make It Count rewards from Marathon. Plus, you can earn points for additional savings on fuel, airfare, hotels, and more. This is definitely a deal you can count on. It's quick and easy to join. Just download the free Make It Count app or go to makeitcount.com/radio and start saving today. This offer is valid only at participating Marathon stations. Remember, wherever you need to go, be safe. The people at Marathon are behind you all the way.
Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of the money Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? A Lions win? That's probably not going to happen anytime soon, guys. But at least there's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more. And we are going to roll right into the Geico good news of the day. Learn more about Geico's 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies at geico.com/giveback. And with all the bad news that we had on Sunday, Field, let's talk about some good stuff.
Well, let's talk about some good stuff. Here's how it's going to work. I'm going to give you the headline and the highlights and just one quick takeaway, whether it means something or whether it's just, hey, as expected. Leonard Fournette, 27.6 fantasy points. He had 103 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns, including a game clinching. I think it was 47 yarder to put Tampa Bay up 31-17. Is it his backfield?
I think it's got to be going forward. Now, I think he has a short leash, but I do think it is. You think about fantasy football now and Jeff Darlington talking to us from that game, and he's very tied in with a lot of the people in that Bucs organization. And he just said, look, guys, I don't know if it's today or soon, but at some point, Leonard Fournette is going to be a big thing in this backfield. And so it ended up happening yesterday. You know, he had the big run there. He caught the touchdown, should have gotten in, ends up getting in on the very next play. So for the 2 scores here, I'm going to have Leonard Fournette ranked highest among Buccaneers running backs for week 3.
All right. Miles Sanders had 20.1 fantasy points in his season debut, 95 rushing yards on 20 carries, 3 catches for 36 yards. I thought he looked great, Matthew. I think the takeaway here would only be if they do sign Devontae Freeman, it's a little bit of cause for concern, but Miles Sanders meeting expectations in his first game of the season.
He looked good, and which is nice to see because, honestly, a lot of the Eagles' offense did not. And Carson Wentz struggled, and so they may say until we figured out our passing game situation, because that's still a work in progress through two games for Philadelphia. There's no question.
That was a very nice way of putting it. A work in progress.
It
because
is.
Because people
it,
in Philadelphia, as you know, not quite as patient as you are here.
They are not. Look, I'm a Washington fan, which also has an offense that is a work in progress.
Sure.
So I can't throw a lot of stones. Of course, neither can the Lions. All right. Anyway, sorry, Daniel. Just had to get one in there. Look, the fact is that, it's a work in progress here. But from the offensive line to Carson Wentz to the pass catchers here. And so Doug Peterson may say, you know what is going to work is running the ball with Miles Sanders and getting the ball into his hand, like 23 touches. I believe he had yesterday, right?
Yeah.
23 touches. And so, you can't ask for better than that. Gets into the end zone. They give him the gimme touchdown. So, it's early, but I may be taking an L on Miles Sanders in my preseason. I don't think he's going to get 20 touches a game. Which was my argument in the preseason. So
hey guys,
far, bad.
I would say,
yeah, what do you guys?
I would just say on Miles Sanders, one of the things that I was looking for was to see how did he look running in the first game back after a hamstring injury. We always talk about this. How much do you trust a guy? We talked about it on Sunday. How much do we trust him? And I said if he felt good, they probably would keep letting him go, giving him that extra week off. To me, this was, for people who have Miles Sanders on their roster, this was a very good sign that he handled that work and didn't have any apparent issues. So if he's back full practice this week, then I think you can sort of exhale at least about his health going forward.
Good stuff there. Aaron Jones was freed. You mentioned it earlier on in the podcast. 45.6 points for Aaron Jones. 3 total touchdowns. Nearly 240 yards of total offense. He is awesome. He seems to have proved a lot of doubters wrong. For a running back that saw a lot of other backs get paid this offseason, Aaron Jones making a very compelling case to back up the Brinks truck for him.
So he has, I think he has 4 touchdowns through 2 games now, right? Because he scored once in week 1. I believe that is off the top of my head. Thirsty Kyle, you can
correct
me if I'm wrong.
He's got a lot, yeah.
I'm almost positive he only scored once in week 1.
Okay.
4 confirmed.
4 confirmed. So I knew, everyone was talking about, he's got to regress. He's got to regress on the touchdowns. He's maybe not.
I'm going to say.
Look,
where you at, Mike Clay, huh?
Yeah, exactly. This is what happens when you free Aaron Jones, Matt LaFleur. This is what happens. And so insanely talented running back that I've loved for a long, long time. And we certainly hope Davante Adams is back next week. But if he's not, that would certainly put even more of a workload on Aaron Jones' shoulders. He's a clear-cut RB1.
Rip through some wide receivers here. Deontay Johnson is the only player in the NFL with 10-plus targets in both games this season. 23.2 fantasy points and a touchdown. The Steelers find wide receivers like they are shopping for a sweater at Old Navy. It is unbelievable.
Oh, my gosh.
By the way, have you ever been in an Old Navy in your life?
What kind of a...
You guys have ever shopped for sweaters at Old Navy?
You don't shop at Old Navy.
There is no way. There is no way on God's green earth you have ever been inside an Old Navy.
Yeah, there is.
Except for maybe you had to use the bathroom once. Like you were like, it was an emergency.
I mean, I haven't recently shopped at Old Navy. It's COVID. I don't go to malls.
There's no way. I've been in an Old Navy. Like, I have kids. I have 5 kids. Yeah. I've been in Old Navy many times. Like, there's no way. I'm surprised you even know what Old Navy is.
You know what? The Steelers find wide receivers like you find a cashmere sweater, Brooks Brothers.
Finally, that makes sense.
We understand.
Right,
I'm speaking your language again.
Right. Come
on, Diggs. Yeah. Talk about him.
Deontay Johnson. I mean, listen, Chase Claypool had speaking of wide receivers that they find.
Oh, Canada.
Yeah, Chase Claypool had one big play, really great, but you can see why everyone in Pittsburgh is so excited about him. I would assume he is rostered in most dynasty leagues, but if for some reason he's not, or deeper leagues, he should be because that kid can play, and it's only a matter of time for him. Deontay Johnson, I think the window is closed. We talked about this last week. Buy low on Deontay Johnson. I think the window is closed, but that's legit. Like, is it real? Is it not? It's real with Deontay Johnson. Stephon Diggs may wind up being one of, if not the biggest draft day bargain. I think people just sort of
absurd.
They gave up on him and Josh Allen and he's inaccurate and it's going to be a run first offense and he's always hurt and blah, 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 new team. And certainly I did not have him high in my rank. So it's not like I can sit here and pat myself on the back. Although I was pro Josh Allen, he's been great. Stephon Diggs has been great. He's added a whole new dimension to that Bills offense. Josh Allen has been great. The accuracy has improved in a big way. Yes, they have played. They've played the Jets and the Dolphins. So let's let's not run a parade just yet. But certainly, early returns are encouraging. And I think wherever you drafted Stephon Diggs this year, you got a bargain, because I think if I were ranking for the rest of the season, he'd be a top 15 guy for me.
Robbie Anderson and Calvin Ridley are the only two players with at least 100 receiving yards in both weeks this season. We start with Anderson, who looked like the best Carolina receiver again on Sunday, a guy who's going to wind up being a value as well. DJ Moore hasn't quite gotten it rolling so far for the Panthers. Teddy Bridgewater has been okay. I don't think he's been anything special so far, but Robbie Anderson, I mean, they're going to be down in a lot of games. And that's going to mean a couple of deep shots per week. And the Falcons are going to play every single week like it's a crazy, ridiculous, entertaining game. Calvin Ridley, 29.9 fantasy points, 2 touchdowns again. He is absolutely incredible. I mean, the Falcons have some errors in their ways, obviously. They're very, very disappointed after yesterday's defeat. But I don't know how Calvin Ridley lasted until I think it was picked 24 2 years ago.
Unbelievable.
3 years ago. 24th in the NFL draft, Calvin Ridley. Oh, my goodness. He is a star.
If you had to do a draft today,
yes,
for the rest of the season,
okay,
yep,
who goes first, Calvin Ridley or Julio Jones?
Calvin Ridley.
Oh man, you know, it's like one of those things that, like, I'm
scrolling with no hesitation.
Yeah,
he looks fantastic.
Yeah, he does.
I'm with you.
And it's, this is not a Julio hate thing, but like that drop touchdown in the end zone from
Russell Gage,
like that.
Bad.
There were a lot of drop touchdowns yesterday, by the way, in the end zone, like just across the NFL. But Calvin Ridley does not look coverable right now.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't think it's. I think it's a coin flip. I know that sounds ridiculous,
but if nothing else, it's a conversation,
right?
Oh yeah,
the fact that it's even a conversation.
I know. I'm still leaning towards Julio, but
I am too.
It's a conversation.
But it's a conversation.
That's a wild thought,
and it really is. And by the way, and I think there would be a lot of people that would be like Daniel that would say, like, it's Ridley and it's not close.
Yeah,
I mean, like, again, I mean, I think part of Ridley's success is because of the coverage that Julio
100%.
Draws. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know that Ridley has this kind of success without Julio on the field, but it is a pass-first, pass-friendly offense. Calvin Ridley has all sorts of talent. But just regardless of whether he's better or worse than Julio fantasy-wise, the fact is that he is a wide receiver one. He is a top 10 wide receiver, obviously. He is a clear-cut wide receiver one the rest of the way.
I cannot wait to watch him every Sunday now.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm like, Falcons fans are probably like, I can, because, you know, you're losing a year off your life every Sunday. But this team is highly entertaining.
What an awful loss.
Let me just quickly mention that Monday Night Football, of course, tonight on ESPN, it's Raiders and Saints. So for those of you listening to this show or watching it live, if you're listening on Monday before the game, we got news on Saturday that we expected, but is now official, that Michael Thomas is out for the game. Just for those that maybe had the opportunity to grab someone or maybe just set expectations for tonight, we still believe that Emmanuel Sanders stands to benefit the most amongst those Saints pass catchers.
Yeah, among the Saints pass catchers. Look, Jared Cook, I think, will have his usual role, maybe a couple more targets than normal. They'll take a shot or two to Tre'Quan Smith, but my expectation here is that it's a run-heavy attack from New Orleans, that you see a lot of Alvin Kamara, both out of the backfield and running the ball, and Latavius Murray, who last week got 15 carries, and I think gets that, if not more, tonight against the Raiders in a game that I think the Saints will win.
I think the Saints will win, too. I'm a little worried about this offense maybe being more grinded out, and this being a game they win on the strength of their defense. But the Raiders, I think they're an improving defense, but certainly one that can be had as well. Can't wait to watch Allegiant Stadium, first game ever, first NFL game ever played in Las Vegas.
Be good. Vegas, right, baby.
Geico trivia time?
Sure.
Okay. I know we have a couple minutes left here, so I just want to make sure we get to that to close the show. And I know this is a good one from Kyle.
And there's a lot of stuff that we didn't get.
We got all week. We got all week. Twitter, Instagram, fantasy show, waiver column, love, hate, injury blogs, you name it, it's available. So, Daniel, let's get to the Geico trivia question.
Okay. I'm going to actually throw it on over to Kyle. Kyle, is your mic working today?
I think the mic's good. I think we're working. Yeah, the mic not injured. Everybody else is. Since 2016, Drew Brees leads all players with just over 1,900 passing yards on Monday Night Football. I want you to tell me who ranks second on that list.
2016, Drew Brees leads all players with 1,910 Monday Night Football passing yards. Who ranks second with 1,773? 2016.
Kyle, stop asking such hard questions.
I don't think I'm going to get this one.
I don't think I'm going to get this one right either. But
I feel like there's a
pretty good one. I'm going to have a good guess.
Okay.
But it's not going to be correct.
All right. Stefania, ladies first. What do you got?
Deshaun Watson? Is that terrible?
Well, the only reason why I think it might not be him is because he was drafted in 2017 and obviously missed most of his rookie season. But that could be right. You never know. He's magical. What do you got, Matthew?
I have Aaron Rodgers.
Ooh, I like that call,
because
too.
Because I think that, you know, he tends to – I feel like Aaron Rodgers always lights up Monday Night Football. And Kyle's a Packers fan, so it wouldn't surprise me if he tried to sneak in a pro Aaron Rodgers trivia question.
That's an even better rationale.
I mean, he's wearing a Packers jersey. Oh, I mean, like, look at that. He's wearing a Packers sweatshirt.
Matthew,
I feel like the don't overthink it answer is probably Tom Brady, right?
But wouldn't it have taken him, like, 10 years?
That's a good
Yeah, that, I thought about him, too.
He's been awesome. They play a good amount of primetime games. Well, it just be Patrick Mahomes, because he's ridiculous.
I thought about Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, by the way, Mahomes might have done it just in that game against the Rams.
I know, right, literally.
Mahomes was my first choice, and then,
Kyle's definitely going to surprise us. What's the answer, right. Kyle?
Is the answer Kyle Allen?
No, and not a Packer, but an NFC North quarterback. It's Kirk Cousins. He gets all the hate for the struggles in primetime, but he racks up the yards.
Why is he playing on Monday Night Football so much?
Yeah.
No offense to Kirk Cousins.
I mean, I will say Washington always played on Monday Night Football. They always got killed. But what's weird to me is I never would have got that, because one of the knocks on Kirk Cousins is that he is not great in primetime games.
Yards don't mean you're good.
That's true.
Blake Bortles helped prove that for us for a long
time. Yes, he
was great at it.
All right, we got a few minutes left here, so I'm just going to quickly run through a few other notable performances and just sort of, you know, like, pat these guys on the back. Josh Allen, you mentioned, has been just lights out. 34.5 fantasy points yesterday. The first Bills quarterback ever with 400-plus passing yards, 4 touchdowns, and 0 interceptions in a game. Russell Wilson was just absolutely utterly brilliant last night. I don't want to highlight Cam Newton, because I thought he was the superior quarterback last night. I just thought it was a clash of titans.
Right.
These two quarterbacks.
That game was the best game besides that quarter of overtime.
Yeah, it was just unbelievable.
That game last night was fantastic.
Cam Newton helps the Patriots back, and Cam Newton was fantastic. 34.6 fantasy points, 397 passing yards, a touchdown, an interception, 47 rush yards, 2 rushing touchdowns.
Somebody pointed this out on Twitter, and it wasn't me, so I apologize to whoever, because I don't remember who put it out, but the idea that Julian Edelman's greatest receiving yard game came from Cam Newton is mind-blowing. Not Tom Brady. Like, the most receiving yards Julian Edelman's ever had in a game came with Cam Newton under center.
And it's just a second game together.
That's a trivia question right there.
Yeah,
that is.
You know what? Maybe Kyle, any ideas?
I'm not ready to get there yet, but based off last night, there might be a little bit of Undertaker meme gif of N'Keal Harry at some point later on this season. Wasn't spectacular, but he had 8 catches last night, and he's playing a ton for the Patriots, so someone's going to have to catch passes from Cam, who looked lights out.
Yeah. Tyler Higbee, you know who's healthy at the end of week 2? Cam Newton. Yeah. Remember all the questions about his health coming into the season? He looks amazing and not afraid to run, dive, catch, get taken down.
Cam Newton looks like
answered all
Miles
questions.
Garrett in terms of stature. He's
a massive human being.
He is huge. Last one here, Tyler Higbee had 3 touchdowns on Sunday, 5 catches, 54 yards. Remember the guy that was the 8th best player in fantasy from weeks 13 through 17 last season?
Yeah, you saw him yesterday.
Tyler Higbee looked like that player. Gronk, with just 2 catches so far this year, I see that there's a Higbee note tied to Gronk. Gronk needs to get it going here for the fantasy football players out there.
Did you do Dumpsville? Because we're doing Dumpsville on the fantasy show.
Yeah,
Gronk's on that list. Because there's so many productive tight ends out there. Like, I hate to say it, and Gronk may be productive, but I would have no problem waiving Gronk in a 10 or 12 team league.
Understood. 2 catches for Gronk through 2 games so far. On Tuesday, we are back for more information on all the injuries, plus waivers, plus news, plus a recap of Monday Night Football. Check out the game, ESPN, with the new 3-man booth. For Matthew and Daniel and Stefania, I'm Field. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
Peace out!